Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick?
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hey guys.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
Go shardy.
Shardy?
Go shardy. It's your birthday.
Ghost shardy.
Ain't no party like a ghost shardy
party. Oh my god.
Ghost shardy party.
Yesterday was your birthday when this comes out. You're 31.
Oh my god. How does it feel?
You.
It feels pretty good.
How was your birthday?
I think it was fucking dope.
Dopest one you ever had?
I think it was the dopest one I've ever had.
That makes one of us.
Oh, I'm so fucking sorry.
Yeah. My birthday, we shall not be discussed.
No, it's okay. You guys were going through some things.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean one of us in particular.
Yeah. Also, when this comes out, we're going to be in California.
California. You went there and I went California.
No, and that tells you all you need to know about our different personalities.
Yep.
So we have been invited to be guests on a podcast. And
Can we tell them what yet? No,
well, I don't know.
A surprise.
We'll share details when we know.
Yeah.
We're very scared of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
totally.
We're not scared.
No. Intimidated, I would say.
Yeah. One would say.
I would say at least.
Yeah. I did make something for them. I don't know if I've told you yet.
Okay.
So, oh, that reminds me, I have to go get it. Maybe you can come with me after this.
Sure.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So I asked them in an email, I said, hey, do we need to prepare anything? Do we need to bring anything? And they said, unless you suddenly come down with amnesia,
yes,
all that you need is in your head.
Yeah.
You don't need to bring anything, but if you want to bring something, we do need a new waffle maker.
I love that email.
And then they wrote, please
don't
bring a waffle maker. We got one from William Sonoma. It's great. So I got on Canva and made them a World's Best Waffle Award. Put the name of the studio - voted 2022. Because you know people in Ohio love being voted best whatever.
We do. But if they don't get our humor and they're like, huh?
Well, I'm just going to be like, this is a gift from our land.
Yeah.
Ohio.
We love trophies.
We traveled on a plane with this plaque that I made myself.
I do want a fucking waffle, though.
They really
hyped up those waffles. And I'm like,
I know. I think it'll be funny.
I better have. I know. It's definitely funny.
I think it'll be funny. Also, while we're in California.
I miss that completely. My mouth. I was just like.
I'm going to try and get the new merch out.
Okay.
What Sierra's wearing, that is a Patreon exclusive design.
patreon.com/ladiesatdandis.
Yeah.
If you are a goose pimp.
If you are, yeah.
This is one of the designs.
The highest tier. You get a merch item every 3 months, and this is one of them.
Now.
Short sleeve, though, correct?
I don't remember. Because I know that it doesn't have the stuff on the sleeves.
Yeah.
This was our, like, tester. Mm-hmm. And then when I sent it to them, they're like, we can't do the sleeves. And I was like, that's totally fine.
No worries. Yeah, fine.
But the one I'm wearing will be a part of our merch.
And merch. Okay.
ladiesandtangents.com/lt-merch, I think.
Yeah.
Or merch-lt. I don't know.
Or just go to ladiesandtangents.com, click on a tab. There should be a merch button
somewhere. If this is out and it's not up there, this is coming soon, I guess.
Yeah.
It has a pill bottle on it that says Ladies and Tangents, and it says, drink your water, take your meds.
And we support that message.
We do.
Like, a lot.
Yeah. Also, I have a gift for you for California.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Because you know that I got us a convertible as our rental car. Oh, that's embarrassing. Hold on. Let me rip off the price.
Okay.
You ever do that? Because
I was going to price shame you for sure.
Okay, you ready?
You cheap bitch. Getting me
this up. This is for you. And this is for me. We're going to thumb and leave it.
I could cry.
We're going to put these around our heads.
Like an old Russian lady.
Yes. And I got sunglasses. Oh, you've got your sunglasses.
My God.
If you don't think that I'm going to be driving down, what is it, Route 66? I don't know. What do they have over there?
I'm so excited for these.
I don't know how you wear these. Like this, right?
Oh my God.
Do I look like a babushka? Is that offensive? Probably.
I don't know.
If it is, I'm sorry.
Russians?
Is that Russian?
Yeah, I think that's like a Russian grandma.
This is us in our convertible in California.
This makes me so happy. We can't end it like Thelma and Louise did. Because I know it's
Did we drive
sometimes.
Off a cliff?
I know it's tempting, but we can't.
I had a dream where I accidentally drove a car off of a dock.
I think I'll drive over there. I think it's best.
Well, to be fair, I didn't know that I was on a dock.
Okay.
All of a sudden,
that's
I
worse.
Just realized that I was at the edge of the dock, and I'm like, this isn't the road. So I tried to...
This is water.
I tried to back up.
And then I'm terrible at backing up in a straight line.
I backed out. I was like, this is gonna have to be like a 45 point turn. And I went directly into the, because the wood couldn't hold the weight of the car.
Oh, of course not. That's physics.
So I went into the water, and I remember just feeling myself just like sink.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And then also you and Shane fell in love right in front of me.
Oh, that won't happen.
So
I'll tell you that right
I've been
now.
Having nightmares. if you were curious.
Yeah. Nope. Won't happen.
I'll tell Either you that one. For free. That's my favorite thing that Rachel Roche of For Better and Worse and also of Just Person in My Life.
Podcast. Also my wedding photographer.
Yeah.
So excited.
She goes, I'll tell you that for free. So now I want to say it. Anyway, okay.
I'm so fucking stoked.
I saw that.
About
I'm
these.
Like, those are her colors and it's ocean stuff.
Yep.
What is that? Coral?
Yeah.
Ocean stuff.
Ocean weeds?
I don't know.
Ocean trees.
Plants.
I almost said branches, but
imagine we get on the plane wearing these scarves and sunglasses and just say nothing the entire time. We sit in silence and stare forward for 4 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh my God. Except I'm terrified of flight, so I'll be like,
you're just breathing I'll have into my... a bag with your sunglasses and scarf.
She's fine.
Yeah. I think it'll be okay.
Oh, fuck. I can't wait. That's
I'll bring
so
my rosary.
Exciting. Yeah.
And then I'll just be whispering Hail Marys.
Oh, my God.
We'll get in the emergency exit row one way or another. I swear to God. I'll get us there.
Hell
Extra
yeah.
leg room.
Hell yeah. That's what I like.
Oh, no one would trust us to open those doors.
And I won't be trusted because you know I won't.
I will not be trusted. Don't even try.
In a panic situation, I am not to be trusted.
No, I am.
Are you good under...
Oh, under pressure?
I'm not.
The way I can compartmentalize and act like we're not in the middle of a burning building.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you.
That's really impressive.
That's why whenever Shane and I got in our car accident and we were sitting on... the guardrail and people came up and were like, oh my God, are you okay? And I was like, did you hear the Cavs won? I couldn't be better. Like, what do you mean?
See, I can make jokes, but inside of my mind it's panic, 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 no, panic, panic.
No, I was just like, well, what do we do here?
Oh my God, I need someone like that. I'm glad you're coming with me on this trip.
Oh yeah. Because I am a delight to travel with.
Thank God. Because I am a terrible traveler.
You know why I make everything a joke?
For that? Because I'm also bad when I don't sleep, and both of those things are gonna
I think you're going to be fine. Because with me, I make quite literally everything a joke.
Okay.
Because every moment could be my last.
I agree. And that's funny as fuck.
I'm going to go out laughing. Okay?
There's nothing funnier than thinking about my death.
I was talking to Rachel again today. I was like, if I'm lucky enough to have a swift, early exit from this earth,
it'll be in a plane accident?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought that's where we were going with that.
Why did I tell her that?
I was like, what point were you talking?
Oh, we were talking about retirement. She's like, I got to start putting stuff into a retirement. And I was like,
I'm praying not to get there.
That's exactly what I said. I was like, if I'm lucky enough to have a swift, early exit from my earthly being,
yeah,
then... Who gives a flying fuck about a retirement?
Yeah, that's not a great way to think.
So, I don't know.
But I do understand it.
Please do not come to me for financial advice. Oh, yeah. Yeah, today's been a day.
And also don't come to us and be like, it's not funny to joke about things. That's all we fucking have right now. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would.
Let us have a little bit of dark humor because everything else is spiraling around
us. Well, I was going to say that like in times like this, we don't really know what to do because it's like,
do we
focus on the horrible things that are happening
or do we try to offer
an escape?
Because we had a lot of messages today, which I don't know why I was checking them, but I was just like, maybe these will make me feel better. They didn't, but some of them did. But we did have a lot of people that were like, I think you need to talk about this on the next one. And then on the opposite end, people were like, how about next week is just like a really funny episode?
Yeah.
And I was like, it can't be both. But actually, that's what we're trying to do because we are talking about something serious, not in the current
climate,
but it could be.
Kind of.
It could be. That's what's so scary. If you don't know, we're talking about Roe v. Wade was overturned today. And so I'm going to try to present this as best as I can, but I have been not fucking with you, like spiraling all day today because of this. So
here's a tip.
I'm going to do my best.
Here's a tip for you. I have been in the ocean of emotion. I haven't landed on Sad Bitch Island, but I've just been releasing myself to the sea.
Yeah.
And the only thing that has helped me was eating an ice cream cake that I bought myself with you on my birthday.
That was fun.
And watching copious amounts of with Katya and Trixie Mattel. Who do you think you are?
I want to say Trixie, but I don't think
you're
I am.
Katya.
I know
you
I
are
am.
Katya.
I know I am, but I want to be Trixie.
I know you want to be,
but I'm not. I know. I know.
Do any of you watch?
Because if you don't, you fucking should.
It's
please
the only
do it right
thing
now.
That has brought me joy in the last week.
It's like instant. You guys say that we are your instant serotonin. This is our instant, like Jenna and Julian were. Oh my God. This is very much like instant serotonin.
It's so funny.
So fucking
funny.
And
I feel like they say stuff that I would cut out of our videos.
We can't. Yeah, we can't say that, but they fucking can. And I like it for them.
Yeah, me like, too.
I fucking appreciate that. Because that's the thing about the world today, too, is like I understand being as not harmful
as you can.
But at the same time, sometimes dark humor is fucking what we need. And when people are like, I don't think you should say that because blah, blah, blah. It's like, but this is how I cope. Please let me do it. Like
yeah. I don't have a whole lot of help otherwise.
But yeah. Like the thing we had to cut out when we were talking about being alone with ourselves in the woods.
Oh, yes. Why we can't go hunting.
Yeah.
Oh, they did actually do something about gun control. So
well, thank fuck.
I know.
But have they really? Has it passed anywhere but the House? Because that's what keeps happening.
I know.
Is it keeps passing from the House and the Senate's like, fuck you, because fuck the Senate.
I said.
This November. Primaries, elections are also happening this week in certain states. Look yours up. Register to vote now.
Yeah.
Primaries and
get those
all
old
of,
white men out of there.
We need to be voting for the House and the Senate. Why the fuck are these people still in there are doing this shit to us? So fucking please go out and vote. Know what you're voting for. For the love of God.
This has been politics and tangents.
This has been, I'm still spiraling.
Ladies in politics. Oh, fuck. What was I going to say?
Oh, fuck.
You are not alone.
You're not alone.
It's feeding the people. People get together. Sorry, you have to go. Go watch the loneliness episode from. I didn't know how to pronounce it, but now that I know, it's all I want to do all the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I was going to say is I don't think it's a coincidence that the whatever was passed in the House, and then it was like, it's on its way to Biden's desk.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a coincidence that it happened the exact same day as Roe v. Wade.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, here, we gave you a little bit. Aren't you happy? But it's like, fuck no. You old fucking dinosaurs. I'm so tired of them.
We're going to put a little bit of a muzzle on those firearms, but we are simultaneously going to strip an entire group of people of their rights.
Yeah, and also, added on to that, we're going to go ahead and talk about how we want to strip other people of their rights.
Right.
Just going backwards. Just completely going backwards. It's 2022, or is it 1950? We don't know. Where are we?
I don't know. But I hate it here. That's all
Me
I know.
Me
too. So today, we are going to be talking about, because we had decided to do two episodes on Pride.
Yeah.
And we had James on last week. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, James. That was amazing. We loved having him. And I saw the hot tub boats that he was talking about.
I keep thinking to look, and then I get distracted because ADHD.
Well,
and
he had it on his stories.
Aha.
But I put on our Patreon, I was like, hey, guess where Sierra and I are going? We're going to be doing our live from
everyone's
there.
Everyone's like, hot tub boats.
Everyone was like, hot tub boats. And I'm like, honestly, I wish.
Fuck, yeah. That no, that dope. It's coming. It's coming. You just wait.
I just am trying to anticipate what someone would look like getting into the hot tub boat. Like, do you take your clothes off right there? You just
Do you have to be naked?
No, I meant your swimsuit. You're just standing there like you're about to go on a water slide. You get into a hot tub boat.
Probably. Water slides are weird now that I think about it. We're all just standing there like
holding an inner tube around you. And there's just one guy at the top going, go ahead.
Go ahead. Good. And then you're like on the stairs and there's water dripping on your forehead from some fucking guy's swimsuit like two stories above you, and you're like tight. I love that.
Can I tell you about the time I had a panic attack waiting for a water slide?
No.
It was at Kalahari.
Okay? Oh, Kalahari's scary as fuck.
So there was that.
I don't like how high up the steps go.
That's the thing. There's this one.
And there's kids like playing on them, and I'm like, stop. You're gonna fall.
There's this one that you go through and then it dumps you into this big like toilet bowl thing, and then you go around and around and drop.
Watching people try to climb, like hold on to the edge of that. It's fucking hilarious.
I looked at the hole that I was supposed to go through, and I'm like, I'm not going to fit.
Nope.
I'm physically watching people go through there. People who I know are taller than me, who are wider than me. Yeah. Like, and they're going through no problem, but I, in my claustrophobia, I'm like, I'm not going to fit.
There's no way.
I was convinced it was going to Alice in Wonderland me and just shrink.
Oh my God. And then the water builds up behind you and then shoots you out.
And then I just go through the wall and I'm in the parking lot with the giraffes.
How horrifying. Well, with the giraffes.
Not the giraffes. I'm a giraffe now.
Oh my God.
I'm with my people.
You silly bitch.
Anyway, this is our second Pride episode where we're going to be talking about Stonewall. And it's kind of like it's a tangents in true crime, but
sort
also
of,
pride.
Yeah.
Tangents in true pride.
Yeah. I guess. Love that. Yeah, because we're going to be, we're just going to be talking about it.
Yeah.
Again, I'm spiraling today, so apologies if I'm fucking up a little bit. I have so many sources. I'm going to try to be going in between and getting, because before I came here, I was like, oh, but I want to include this. I want to include this, and I didn't get to add it to my notes, so I just have it like screenshot on my phone places, so.
We're recording earlier in the day.
It's all fucking.
It's all different. So
you might
we're
have to cut
best.
Some stuff out of
That's
me
fine.
Going, hold on, where's my. right there.
I always do.
Oh, it's right there.
Okay.
All right. I'm done.
Wait. Time out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
I am obsessed with
clothes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Nuuly with our audience. Because Nuuly is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in but are like gonna make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing, mm-hmm. because a lot of places may not have options for everyone, and this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility.
Plus the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this. And then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me, but there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it. And you're like, you actually can't have this back, Nuuly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code TANGENTS20.
Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code TANGENTS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's with code TANGENTS20.
Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Do you think seeing a therapist or psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one and meet with them or afford them?
Try Talkspace.
By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable. Honestly, a lot of times you make that appointment at your appointment you already have. I don't know when I'm going to schedule my breakdown. I don't know when I'm going to need to talk to somebody. And with Talkspace, it's so nice because you can send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait for your next session.
Talkspace therapists can help with any specific challenges that you might be facing. And it's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, so much more.
Plus, therapy can help you find the tools to cope in difficult times and just be a guiding light. So like maybe you're not going through something really intense, but you just have like, I don't know, a work issue or something going on with a friend of yours that you just need an outsider's perspective. And Talkspace is amazing for that.
They also are in network with most major insurers. So check in on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you got it.
Plus, as a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off of your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/tangents and enter promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/tangents and enter promo code SPACE80 to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com/tangents, promo code SPACE80.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Realized how much stuff is on the floor. There's a onesie. That's a sleeper from when Forrest was like 3 months old. There is a child's seat right there. I don't know if it's in frame. If it is,
fuck it.
Leave us alone.
Who gives a shit?
Our life is crumbling.
Yeah.
And we're doing our best
for tomorrow.
Best. Best.
Yeah.
Best. We're doing our best. Okay, here we go. So we're just going to talk a little bit before to like talk about the buildup of how we got to what happened. And then I'll talk about what it is and like what's up? Okay. Throughout the 1950s and the 1960s, I know this is crazy to you, but gay people weren't treated very well in America.
Nuh-uh.
Can you believe it?
That's shocking to
me. I know. Because we've always been so nice to minorities in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But
or marginalized groups in general.
Yeah. But no, in the 1950s and 1960s, the U.S. FBI and police departments would keep lists of known homosexuals and their favorite establishments and friends.
That sounds like old school Tinder. They were like looking for a hookup. Yeah. Like, you're not fooling anybody.
But here's what they would do. They would, so they, like, okay. So here's basically how this would happen.
In this big.
It was fucking this big. It was huge.
Okay.
At first, all bars were illegal, prohibition and the like.
Yeah.
And then they would be like, no, bars are legal, but gay people cannot be served in bars because it's
they would get them, they would arrest them for disorderly conduct.
How could you tell they were gay?
Well, that's the thing. So if you were a woman wearing men's clothing or anything that looked like it might be men's clothing,
I would
if
never you were, be served.
Yeah, same. Fucking same. If you were a man and you were acting femme, dressed femme, you would not be served. Or you could be arrested just for those two things. For disorderly conduct, they would say. If you were dressed a certain way that wasn't gender appropriate, and if you weren't acting gender appropriate. And then obviously gay bars, they would know. Because you would be with another.
But at a gay bar, is no one getting served?
So here's the deal. Gay bars were like illegal. You couldn't have a gay bar.
Was it like prohibition?
Yes. So you'd so here's what would happen. I'll tell you all about it. But first, let me tell you more about what else they would do.
Okay.
Then the U.S. Post Office would keep track of addresses where material pertaining to homosexuality was mailed.
What does that mean?
I'm maybe pornography.
What?
Anything that could be viewed as like
gay.
Like glitter in the mail. Gay.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding, but
like sex toys?
Maybe.
Like, hey, John got a butt plug. Put him on the list.
Right? Well, who knows?
How would you know?
I don't know.
Or they just, that he's been receiving rainbow letters. These envelopes.
So write his name down. Then what they would do is they would have all these people on the list, and you could be fired from your job just for being suspected of homosexuality.
What?
Yes. And especially if you were like a, like, had a higher up job at like a university as like a professor, or things like that. Then they, anytime that they would go into these bars and arrest these people for suspecting homosexuality and all that, they would print your name in the local newspaper.
Like a freaking sex offender?
Yes. And then your job would know if you weren't out to, like, if you had a family that you were covering and, you know, you weren't out, they would know, like, that's how.
So, oh my God, that's horrible.
Yeah.
But I will say, I know it would not be, well, first of all, it's not okay to put people on lists and tell me where they live.
Right.
But if I do want a list of people and where they live, it would be gay people, because I would be like,
oh, me too. That's, I've
friends?
Never felt safer.
Like, right?
That's where I want to be.
I got something in the mail, because I have. I don't know if you, I don't know if this is something that happens everywhere, if it's just in Ohio. Where
you were going to say where they say gay people live. And I was like, no.
When they send out the things with the red dots that tell you how many sex offenders live near you, I would love to know how many gay people are around me.
It would make me feel better
me
about
too.
The neighborhoods I was moving
but I
into.
Also know that that's not safe.
No, I'm not insinuating. We're
to
not.
I'm
we're
just
saying
I
in a perfect
friends.
World, we would love to know where you live. Gay people, send us your addresses.
I want to be your friend.
Please.
And I have been known just to show up places. So.
Yes.
I love a surprise. I love a grand gesture.
It's the best way to be. That's what I'm saying. Also in 1952, the American Psychiatric Association listed homosexuality, this is going to be difficult for me and my big teeth, listed homosexuality in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual as a mental disorder.
What?
I fucking know.
I no longer find that piece of literature credible.
Well, I think then they changed it.
Nope. I'm not accepting anything from that book.
Okay, fair enough.
Honestly, fair enough for me.
That's fine. So now we're going to talk about New York. There's a place in New York called Greenwich Village. Okay.
Yes. Isn't it like
home of the queers? We love it.
Well, I was gonna say, isn't it spelled like Greenwich?
Yeah. I almost said Greenwich so many times, and then I had to watch. Watched so many documentaries on this, but yeah. So really, what happened was, like, poets that were later named beat poets would write about, like,
oh wow, I got chills.
Yeah, would write about the evils, quote unquote, of social organization. They would glorify anarchy, drugs. Overall unquestioning social compliance, closed-mindedness. And then two of them, Allen Ginsberg and William S. Burroughs, were Greenwich Village residents.
Uh-huh.
They would write bluntly and honestly about homosexuality in these poems. And so their writings attracted people
who were like them,
to come there, basically saying, like, we want a community. We want to come live with you.
Yeah.
And so it really did become, like, one of the queers.
Yeah.
And I fucking love it.
It gave me chills.
I know.
So I always picture, I think I've said this before, but when we talk about stuff in the past, I always try and imagine where I would be or in reference to the story where I would be. And when we were talking about Ruby Bridges the one time, like, there's no way I would be standing in the crowd throwing rocks at a child.
Right.
But I definitely would be headed to the
all
the gays in Greenwich.
That's what I'm saying. And like, and it wasn't just gay people. It was, you know, people who
just
enjoyed
diversity.
Doing drag. Yeah. People who were transgender, people who were, I mean, they didn't have a word, I don't think, at the time, but like non-binary, just people who didn't want to conform to gender norms.
Yes.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So by the early 1960s.
I'm sorry.
What?
I just had to refrain from saying I'm horny for disrespecting gender normies.
Me too.
I'm horny for non-conformies.
You and me both. So there was a campaign to get rid of all gay bars by the mayor at the time, Robert F. Wagner Jr. Fuck you, bud. because he was concerned about the image of the city in preparation for the World's Fair, which, like, fuck your fair. But so they started revoking all the liquor licenses.
Is there anything more gay than a fair?
I know. literally.
Yeah, go ahead. Go show me your cattle that you raised yourself. Show me your prize pumpkin that you grew from a seedling. And eat everything off a stick.
That's funny. So they would revoke the liquor license of these bars, and then undercover officers were going as, like, they were pretending to be homosexuals and entrapping. It was called entrapment. And they would, like,
coerce people?
Yeah. So basically, at one point, there was an arrest in a gym locker room where the officer grabbed a man's crotch, moaned, and asked him if he was all right. And then he arrested him. Like, what the fuck?
What was his answer? Like, I guess?
I don't know. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He moaning and a man who asked him if he was all right. So the officer was, like, grabbing his own crotch and moaning. And then a guy was like, you all right, bud? And the officer was like, you're under arrest. You fucking perv.
What?
I know. What the fuck? Okay.
I don't understand the logic. I really try. All I am, like, I told Shane the other day that I physically could be an Olympian.
Yeah,
with the amount of, like, mental gymnastics that I've done.
Well, yeah, you just want to be like, because there's a part of you that wants to understand.
I do, but, like, I don't.
No, I can't understand.
I do not
that.
Understand.
I don't get that shit at all. Okay, but so then there was a new elected mayor, John Lindsay, and he ended the campaign of police entrapment. Thank fucking God. But the New York liquor, I'm sorry.
Liquor? Hardly know her.
Hardly know her. But so, like, at the time then, there was no laws that actually prohibited serving. And I have a hard time saying that.
Prohibited. Sorry. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with us. I don't know if there's any caffeine in this, but I have had two. Like, I had a latte
a little bit
back to back
with
this.
Well, fuck you. Fuck me. Fuck us all.
Feeling a bit funky. I'm so sorry. This is a very serious thing.
It is, but it's okay. Okay. Okay, so there was no laws that strictly said, like, you can't serve gay people, but they would then allow the New York State Liquor Authority, the SLA, discretion when approving or revoking liquor licenses for businesses that they said may become, quote, disorderly. So it's like, hey, if that place is too disorderly, you can take their liquor license away, shall you? And it's like, oh, okay, so if they are serving gay
interior
people.
Design.
Well, no, because back then that's not what happened. I'll tell you all about
it. Okay.
So
I'm sorry, I'm really trying not to reinforce stereotypes. I just am, like, making fun of the logic that these people had.
Yeah, yeah. No, because what happened then is, like, people that affiliate with something that rhymes with the schmob.
Okay.
Right?
they would buy.
I love that you said schmob like it wasn't still the word.
Anyway, so the mob, in particular, the Genovese crime family.
Oh my God, are we allowed to talk about them? That?
I don't know. It's on Wikipedia, great. So probably.
Great.
Hey, this is, don't come for me. That's Wikipedia.
It was nice knowing you guys.
Sorry.
We're under attack from the schmob.
Oh God. No, but they would buy these heterosexual establishments, okay. Right? And then they would turn them into gay bars.
Also, we like them.
No, we don't.
Oh.
No, we absolutely don't. Because they were doing it
to get
money. And so what they were doing was, like, these bars were, they had no running water behind the bar, so they would drink out of dirty glasses that would just run through, like, tubs of water that were back there. And then they had no fire exits. The toilets were overran consistently. Like, it was basically, these people knew, like, well, these people have nowhere else to go.
Right. So, and what are they going to do? Call the cops on us?
Exactly.
Report us?
Because exactly.
Their existence is illegal.
Exactly. And
so they completely took advantage of a marginalized group.
100%. And not only that, they were paying off. So, like, these officers still had to do sweeps of these places, but because it was owned by the mob, they were paying off the officers to give us a heads up before you come so we can hide the liquor. And basically, so
you can come get these people.
Well, sort of. Yes. So there were, the inside of it was all, like, painted black, but it had pulsing gel lights or black lights. Uh-huh. But then if the police were coming or they were tipped off, they would flash the white lights. And then it would signal that everybody should stop touching each other or dancing, basically split up. And, like, okay, you know, it's just a regular bar. And then they could hide the liquor because basically they were saying, like, this is a bring your own liquor establishment. We're not selling it. We don't have a liquor license. We would never. But they bring their own. Like, what do you want us to do? And at the time, if there were gay bars around, which there were, none of them, like, they didn't have dancing. So this was, like, the only place, because there was kind of a class system even in the gay community back then,
okay,
which, like, transgender drag queens were at the bottom.
Got
so, like, even, like, gay men, lesbians, all of them didn't really look down, but were kind of like, you're the ones that the people that are straight are, like, most afraid of.
Well, I was going to say,
so
you're
kind
the
of like
ones,
you're hindering our cause.
Right. Because I would assume, based on what drag or even being transgender looked like back then, it wasn't as easy to become passing.
Yeah.
And so I think a gay man or a lesbian could pass for not a lesbian or a gay man, where someone who is doing drag or is transgender, it could be a little bit easier to clock,
right?
I guess.
And this isn't saying that all people in the community felt this way. It was just like that was kind of a,
it was just the time.
Yeah. And so a lot of these bars that were ran or that were, like, had gay people running them did not allow for anybody who was dressed in, like, cross-dressing, drag, any kind of, like, transgender, they were not allowed there. And then you also couldn't, you know, dance and it was just basically, like, come and drink with each other. But but the Stonewall Inn did.
Got it.
People flocked to this place, especially queens and transgender. Yeah, that was the place. And a lot of times also, you had to be, like, 18 and over. But this place let you in basically no matter what, if you paid the $3 charge. And you had to, like,
$3 is a lot for them.
Yeah. And you had to, the bouncer at the door had to either know you or, like, you had to be kind of, you had to be looking gay, I guess. Yeah, like, you had to have a look about, I guess.
Got
you know
it.
What I mean? So then they would let you in, and you had to write your name on a, like, list, but nobody wrote their right name. But, you know, it was just kind of clocking everybody. And then a lot of times it was also a home for homeless teens who were kicked out of their houses for being gay to come as well. And so that was why. And also, this was, like, very a mix of races.
Yep.
So where other ones had, like, predominantly just white homosexuals or whatever, this one was, like, kind of everybody. Everybody else would come to this bar. Okay, so the Stonewall Inn was located at 51 and 53 Christopher Street. It was owned by the Genovese crime family. They invested $3,500 to turn it from a regular restaurant nightclub for heterosexuals to a gay bar. It didn't have a liquor license, but it did sell liquor. So I mean,
okay, but they lied about it.
Exactly. So normally, like, the police raids would happen on average like once a month.
Okay.
But towards this time, it was happening much more frequently and a lot of like different at a lot of different bars, but also Stonewall Inn. During a typical raid, the lights were turned on. Customers were lined up and they had to have their ID cards checked. Those without identification or if they were dressed in drag were either arrested or they had to be taken to the bathrooms to check their genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
And then women were required to wear 3 pieces of feminine clothing and they would be arrested if they weren't wearing them. So like a skirt maybe and like, I don't know, whatever the fuck. I guess, yeah.
A thong?
Right.
Hosiery?
So weird.
I have a scrunchie.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Please. I'm obviously so femme.
Hey, guys. We know that we're discussing a pretty heavy topic right now, but we are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right before June 27th, which, by the way, this comes out on June 28th, which is when this occurred.
Oh, wow.
And this episode will come out. Isn't that fucking crazy?
We didn't know that.
Yeah. So on June 27th, the night of June 27th, 1969, there had been previously a lot more raids. And even that previous Tuesday, there was a raid. And then this night, the police did not inform them. No. So they just showed up. 4 undercover and 4 regular police officers just show up. Historian David Carter says that he believes that the mafia owners, there's information that he presents that indicates that the mafia owners of the Stonewall and the manager were blackmailing wealthier customers, ooh, particularly those who worked in the financial district. They appeared to be making more money from extortion than they were from liquor sales in the bar. So he deduced that when the police were unable to receive kickbacks from blackmail and the theft of negotiable bonds, they decided to close the Stonewall Inn permanently. And so that's where this comes in, where they're not giving heads up. They're just storming in there.
Yep.
At 1:20 a.m. on Saturday, June 28th, 1969, these officers come in and they announce police were taking the place. There was about the music was shut off. The main lights were turned on. And around this time, there was about 205 people that were in the bar that night.
Is this in New York?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why Greenwich I'm always, always picturing Florida.
Yeah. No. New York.
I think the shooting at the
That was
club
Pulse.
In Florida.
Yes. So the raid this time did not go as planned. So when they went to line patrons up to take them to the bathroom or check their IDs, people were just basically being like,
no.
No, fuck yeah. You. We've had enough. And we're not hurting anybody. I think they're realizing that like this is real. Like they didn't pay these people off. So like this could be it. They're taking our place. So they start arresting people. They're grabbing the lesbians who are in the bar and they begin assaulting them by feeling some of them up inappropriately and basically molesting them to make sure that they're women.
Ew.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So then they are taking all of the liquor. So before where they would just like be like, oh, hide the bottles or we don't really care. They're like, we're taking all your liquor. You don't have a liquor license. We're shutting this shit down. So they have to wait for these like patrol wagons. They already have one, but they're waiting for another one to come
so that they can put all of the liquor in.
Is that why they're called paddy wagons?
Yes, yes.
I never put that together until you just said patrol wagon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
At this point, they have confiscated 28 cases of beer and 19 bottles of hard liquor. Mm. But the other patrol wagons didn't arrive yet, so they had to wait in line, these patrons who were just basically waiting to be arrested.
Yeah.
So 15 minutes go by, and they're just like standing around. Obviously, things are getting more heated. People are getting pissed.
Right.
Like, I think at one point, now there's a crowd beginning to grow to just see what the fuck's up. And so outside, there's about either the people that had ran were just like, I'm going to stick around. And yep. Then also people are seeing. So there's about between 100 and 150 people that are just hanging out outside, just waiting.
So that's not just an Ohio thing.
Well, like, they want to see what's going on.
Anytime,
I think that's pretty universal
anytime,
when shit's going down.
An ambulance or a fire truck or a police car goes screaming down the road, everyone walks out of their house
and, like,
and just stands.
What's going on?
Stands together. And it's like a neighborhood watch meeting.
And everyone just, like, starts talking?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like, so what do you think that is? Whose house do you think that is? You think that's Jim?
Yeah.
Think that's Jim again?
What do you think's going on in there? Yeah. So, like, at this point, police is kind of forcefully pushing the crowd or like kicking them, but and they start pushing back.
Good.
They're like, fuck this. They start mocking the police. They're saluting them or like doing really femme flipping their hair and just being very like feminine, feminine. And
like, I'm going to make you uncomfortable with how gay I can
be. And the crowd outside is encouraging this.
Yes.
They start applauding. They're cheering the people on. Mm-hmm. They're like, fuck yeah. Let's do this shit.
Right.
So at this point, then when the first patrol wagon comes, the crowd then, most of whom were gay, had grown to at least 10 times the number of people who were being arrested. And everything is very quiet, which in like a situation like this is not good, because it's like they described it as a very eerie quiet. Basically, people, there was like a shift in the air.
Yes,
where it's like, hey, we outnumber you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. So, as there people are being taken to these wagons to be arrested, which there, I watched documentaries of people who were at these bars, and this happens so often. One transgender woman was like, I was arrested 100 times.
Oh my gosh.
100 times. Yeah. It was just like a thing. You got arrested. It was like a drunk tank kind of, but they took you for disorderly conduct.
I was going to say, at that point, what is the point?
Yeah, exactly.
You are quite literally wasting tax dollars.
Yeah, just to be a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Just to be a fucking dick. So they're loading these people in, and a bystander shouts, gay power. Someone begins singing, We Shall Overcome. And the crowd is laughing. They're you know,
we're
joking
the
with each other.
Streets.
Yeah. But there is a sense of like growing and intensive hostility still as this is all happening.
Yeah.
At one point, an officer shoves a person who's in drag. That person responds immediately by hitting him on the head with her purse. And the crowd begins to boo the officer.
Yeah. Have you ever seen what happens when someone who is aggressive and angry and authoritarian, what they do when you start like laughing?
Oh yeah. Oh, so
and not engaging.
The police were getting humiliated, which was enraging them.
100%.
Yeah.
It that's when it gets scary, because they see red.
Yep.
They are like, you know what? I will fucking get you.
Yeah.
To pay attention to me.
Yep. So a passerby recalls, everyone's restless, angry, and high spirited. No one has a slogan. No one even has an attitude, but something's brewing.
Yes.
There is a scuffle that breaks out because a woman who is like a butch lesbian is in handcuffs. She's being escorted from the door of the bar and about to be arrested. She had repeatedly escaped and fought with 4 of the police officers. She's swearing. She's shouting. 10 minutes this goes on. And then she's hit on the head by an officer with a baton because she complained that her handcuffs were too tight, which, like, fuck, they probably were. Like, why are you arresting her? But anyways, so
maybe if I hit you with this baton, you won't remember that your hands hurt, because
right.
now your head hurts.
Right.
Ugh. The logic.
But so bystanders believe that the person was Stormy Delivari, but there is conflict of who it actually was. But whoever it is, at that point, she's being shoved into the wagon, and she turns around and shouts, why don't you guys do something?
And so they did. The crowd immediately becomes violent. They start grabbing beer cans, throwing bricks. There's like a construction site nearby, so they're grabbing bricks, they're grabbing beer cans. At one point, somebody says, I don't think the cops, I don't know where the quote is, but it's something along the lines of, I don't think that they've been paid off, let's pay them. And so they start throwing coins, pennies, everything they can at these officers. Mm-hmm. At this point, there's between 500 and 600 people out
there. Holy shit.
Yeah. And the police are just grabbing whoever they can. One person that they grabbed was a folk singer. His name was Dave Van Ronk, and he was a mentor of Bob Dylan.
Wow.
Yeah. So he comes over. He's at a bar two doors down, and he just walks over because he said he's not gay, but he had experienced police violence when he had participated in the anti-war Vietnam demonstrations. So he says, as far as I was concerned, anybody who'd stand against the cops was all right with me, and that's why I stayed in. Every time you turn around, the cops were pulling some outrage or another.
Damn.
So he got arrested. He's one of the people that gets arrested. He's like, I was just fucking here for a good time.
At this point, at what point do you as the cops just look at each other and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe we stop.
Yeah. Well, so they start getting humiliated. They're obviously outnumbered. So they take their like hostages, the people that they're arresting.
There's like eight of them.
I think at this point there was 10.
Okay. So they called for backup and they're like, we will give you two.
Yep. So 10 of them, they take these other people that they've arrested and they barricade themselves inside the Stonewall Inn for their own safety.
So they take hostages.
Basically. Yeah. So
I don't care what you call it.
Right.
You took hostages, you psychos.
Then, and they're just like destroying shit in the Stonewall Inn. They're like bashing like the, what is the jukebox and all of that stuff. Just like fucking shit up. But then outside, people are throwing garbage cans, bottles, rocks, bricks. They're breaking the windows. They lit a garbage can on fire and stuffed it through the broken window. And the police grabbed a fire hose. But hello, there is no water pressure. So it's not fucking doing anything. And so this just kind of encouraged the crowd to keep fucking going.
Yeah, hell yeah. Like, I would dance in that water.
Yeah. Well, and it's like barely sputtering. Uh-huh. So they're like, fuck you.
That's right, man.
Yes. So at this point, there's a fire now inside, and they don't know if the cops who were inside the building started it or if people outside started it to try to get the cops out. But
got it.
Whatever it is, there's a fire going on inside Stonewall. And this whole thing lasts about 45 minutes. During this, the mob is openly mocking the police. They're cheering and doing kick lines and singing to the tune of Ta Ra Ra Boom Dee. And then they sing, we are the Stonewall Girls. We wear our hair in curls. We don't wear underwear. We show our pubic hair.
Oh my gosh, me sitting here with no underwear on. Yes.
Look at her pubes.
Wondering if my pubes are sticking through this denim. I can't tell you the amount of, I wore some biker shorts. And or bike shorts.
Oh, I already know where you're going with this.
I put them on and I had to double check. I'm like,
poking through.
Can you see my bush through this? You could not. Girlfriend Collective really keeps her in there. Keeps your bush covered. They've got your bush covered.
Love
Girlfriend
that.
Collective. Hey, let me know if you want to use that slogan.
sponsor us.
Yeah.
So about by 4 a.m., the streets are clearing.
Okay.
Cops are like, fuck it.
Yep.
I don't even know if they actually arrested the people. I didn't write that down, so I apologize. But regardless, they leave. And so now people are just sitting on stoops and gathering nearby in Christopher Park. And they're just kind of like talking about like, holy shit, did you see that? And I think there's like this moment of reckoning where it's like,
we don't deserve this.
We don't need to be put through this anymore.
Yeah.
What the fuck did we do to anybody?
Right.
Like, why, when we're just trying to live the way that we want to live,
like everyone else
happening?
Is. Yeah.
So it says, one person commented, there was a certain beauty in the aftermath of the riot. It was obvious, at least to me, that a lot of people really were gay. And, you know, this was our street. 13 people. Okay, so 13 people had been arrested. Some people in the crowd had been hospitalized and 4 police officers were injured.
Wow.
Almost everything in the Stonewall Inn had been broken, and payphones, toilets, mirrors, jukeboxes, cigarette machines, all smashed. So during this whole siege, Craig Rodwell calls the New York Times and the New York Post and the Daily News, and he's telling them what's happening, and all three papers start covering. Like, that's what the thing. They start getting journalists on their side. So now they're getting all of these people are talking, and now the press is there.
Yep.
Which is going to hold people accountable. And so news from the riot starts to spread through Greenwich Village and throughout New York as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all day Saturday, June 28th, then that day, people can't come to stare at the burned and blackened Stonewall Inn. Graffiti appears on the wall of the bar declaring drag power. They invaded our rights, support gay power, and legalize gay bars, along with accusations of police looting. And regarding the status of the bar, they write, "We are open," which I think is like beautiful when
really
you think
symbolic,
about it.
Yeah.
So the next night, then that night, there's people that just come, they're like, "We are open," so they're coming to like come to the bar. So while they're doing this, they're joined by curious bystanders and even tourists, and as they're doing this, they start holding hands in public. They're being just themselves. They are wearing the clothing they want to wear. They're not hiding. One witness describes, "From going places where you had to knock on a door and speak to someone through a peephole in order to get in, we were just out. We were in the streets."
Oh, mm-hmm. Thousands made me cry.
I know. Oh, there's going to be something I read that got me earlier. Thousands of people had gathered in front of the Stonewall, which had opened again. So Christopher Street and the surrounding streets, the crowd is just spilling in. Buses, cars are being surrounded. People are kind of being harassed unless they either admitted they were gay or indicated their support for the demonstrators. They're like, "Okay, fine, yeah, I'm gay too," or like, "I support you, it's fine." Marsha P. Johnson, who was, you know, Marsha P. Johnson, yes, she was a black transgender drag queen. She was seen climbing a lamppost and dropping a heavy bag onto the hood of a police car, shattering the windshield. And there are talks about who throws the first brick. She's one of the people. Actually, hold on. I have a funny thing that I read and it made me laugh. This is pinknews.co. And it says, "Who threw the first brick at Stonewall?" And it says, "On any given day, Twitter might congratulate Mariah Carey or Laura Dern's Gucci fanny pack, or in a much more snarky manner, Joe Biden for throwing the first brick." It says that the fateful piece of masonry itself even made it onto Entertainment Weekly's Pride 2020 cover, suggesting that it was the first brick at Stonewall that threw the first brick at Stonewall. So, like, a lot of people don't know, there's another drag queen. I think it was a Latinx drag queen.
So this is like, what, the 53rd anniversary that this is coming out on?
I believe so. Yes.
That's
69.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know math.
Because, but, well, if you round it up to, I'm going to show you guys how I do math.
Okay.
If you round it up to 70.
Yeah.
70 to the 2000s would be 30. Then it's 20. That's 50.
Yeah.
And then we have two for 2022 and then one for 69.
And here we are. I love it. Okay. So Sylvia Rivera is the drag queen who's the Latinx drag queen. She says people think it was her, and she's like, I threw the second one. I didn't throw the first one. Like, it wasn't me. I didn't throw the first one. I did throw the second one, though. So that's like a big thing that people say, who threw the first brick. But regardless of who threw it, it was thrown and a revolution started. Now, there has been up to that point, there were sit-ins, they were called, which is like the sit-ins for the civil rights movement. But they were just like sitting and announcing they were gay and like daring people to serve them, kind of a thing. So there were activists that were out there. I don't want this to be like this was the only time and the one and only. But it was like a big catalyst for it. So at this point, thousands of people have gathered in front of Stonewall. Yes, okay, we're there. More than 100 police were present from the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 9th precincts. But after 2 a.m., the TPF police arrived. So they start kick lines again. And there's police chases, but the battle ensues again until 4 a.m. And this happens then for six nights. Six nights of this. People
they
just
are
coming.
Making a fucking joke out of you because what you're doing is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. So then Christopher Street Liberation Day was marked on June 28th, 1970. And it was the first anniversary of the Stonewall. They called it the Stonewall Riots, but now it's called the Stonewall Uprising because
what
it was.
Yes.
And so they have an assembly on Christopher Street with simultaneous gay pride marches in Los Angeles and Chicago. And these were the first gay pride marches in U.S. history. Mm. The next year, gay pride marches took place in Boston, Dallas, Milwaukee, London, Paris, West Berlin, and Stockholm. The march in New York covered 51 blocks from Christopher Street to Central Park.
Do you think that there's going to be pride in L.A. when we're there?
Oh, I fucking hope so. That would be amazing.
We have Tuesday free.
Oh my God, I hope so. I hope so. That would be phenomenal.
Guys, are we at Pride right now?
I have to get some...
rainbow.
Yeah, I got to get some shit to wear. Yes. I want to be very bright and flamboyant. The march took less than half the scheduled time due to excitement, but also due to wariness about walking through the city with gay banners and signs. But they encountered little resistance from onlookers while they marched.
Good.
The New York Times reported on the front page that the marchers took up the entire street for about 15 city blocks. Reporting by the Village Voice was positive, describing the out front resistance that grew out of the police raid on Stonewall Inn 1 year ago. By 1972, the participating cities included Atlanta, Buffalo, Detroit, Washington, D.C., Miami, Minneapolis, and Philadelphia, as well as San Francisco. Mm. And okay, so there's a couple things that I like quotes that I wanted to say.
Okay. You had mentioned that. You know that this isn't the only like important,
yeah.
What would I call it? Important moment, yeah, in gay history. Mm-hmm. But with so many people refusing to say gay or eliminating, mm-hmm, gay history from books and stuff,
yep,
all gay history is important to talk about.
I agree,
especially when people are trying to erase it.
Yeah. So,
if anyone has other stories that they want to share, any articles, like, please share it in our Fangents page, within our Discord on Patreon, or in the comments on YouTube, because we say gay here, and yeah, we want you to say gay here too.
A fucking 100%. So in this article by David Carter, it says, what made Stonewall different? Michael Denenny.
Okay.
He's been very politically involved since the 1950s when he was a teenager in gay activism. And he is quoted as saying, I was struck by the fact that more cops ended up hospitalized than demonstrators. That made an impact on me. I think it was decisively important that there was physical violence, that gay people fought back, and that the riots went on for several nights. I think that had they been peaceable and gone the way of all the civil rights demonstrations that were happening in the 60s, I don't think it would have had the same impact at all. And then this is not a quote, but this is, just as nonviolence allowed African Americans to overturn the racist image of blacks as violent, violence prone, and achieve a measure of moral superiority, the use of violence by gay men subverted the stereotype of homosexuals as ineffectual and lacking in courage or masculine qualities.
Weak. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh. If you could see my goosebumps on my arm right now.
Yes.
They're standing so tall.
So I thought that was fucking such, yeah, a good point, because it's like both things helped change. Like,
that's so fucking insightful.
Yes.
Because they were saying, like, it wasn't right or wrong, but it proved the stereotype,
uh-huh,
incorrect.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's good.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then this is an account, a little bit of a quote from Dick Leach?
Dick Burns?
Dick Leach. he was an executive director of the Mattachine Society of New York, which was the first gay group to ever hold a picket in the city. So that's the sip-in that I was talking about. He was, okay, part of that.
You know how when I tell you about all of the like technical stuff that I do for the podcast, you're like, holy fuck, I could never.
Yeah.
When you say some of these words, I'm like, thank God you do the research.
I mean, I'm probably wrong.
You go, like, tell damn, me. Do you try?
Thank you. I really, yeah, do. So he was also the first gay journalist to describe what was happening. Mm. So at the time, he was planning a trip to London, and then he was like, fuck this, I got to go back. So he goes back to Stonewall, and he's on the scene, and this is what he writes, okay? It's kind of long, but I think this is important. It says, coming on the heels of the raids of the Snake Pit and the Sewer, these are also two other gay bars, and the closing of the Checkerboard and the Telestar, and other clubs. Love these names. The Stonewall Raid looked to many like part of an effort to close all gay bars and clubs in the village. It may be true that the Checkerboard and the Telestar died without police assistance. It is said that the woman who managed the Checkerboard came in one night, ordered all the customers out of the place, cleaned out the cash register, and called the police to get rid of the customers who stayed around. It is very likely that the sewer and the snake pit were raided because they had no license, as the police said. But how are people in the street and the customers of the places to know that? The police don't bother to explain or send press releases to the papers, and when they do, the papers make it seem that the bar was raided because it was gay.
Yep.
Since 1965, the homosexual community of New York has been treated quite well by the city administration, and the police have either reformed or been kept in line by Lindsay and Leary. So these are the mayors that are like, hey, let's change the shit, right? But now we've walked in the open, and we know how pleasant it is to have self-respect and to be treated as citizens and human beings. We want to stay in the sunlight from now on. Efforts to force us back in the closet could be disastrous for all concerned. The above, while a true evaluation of the situation, does not explain why the raid on Stonewall caused such a strong reaction. Why the Stonewall and not the sewer or the snake pit? The answer lies, we believe, in the unique nature of the Stonewall. This club was more than a dance bar, more than just a gay gathering place. It catered largely to a group of people who are not welcome in or cannot afford other places of homosexual social gathering. The drags and the queens, two groups which would find a chilly reception or a barred door at most of the other gay bars and clubs, formed the regulars at the Stonewall. To a large extent, the club was for them, apart from the Gold Bug and the 123, which is the other. Drags and queens had no place but the Stonewall. Another group was even more dependent on the Stonewall, the very young homosexuals and those with no other home. You've got to be 18 to buy a drink in a bar, and gay life revolved around bars. Where do you go if you are 17 or 16 and gay? The legitimate bars won't let you in, and the gay restaurants in the streets aren't very sociable. Then, too, there are hundreds of young homosexuals in New York who literally have no home. Most of them are between 16 and 25 and came here from other places without jobs, money, or contacts. Many of them are running away from unhappy homes. One boy told us, "My father called me cocksucker so many times, I thought it was my name." Another said his parents fought so much over which one of them made him a homosexual that he left so they could learn to live together. Some got thrown out of school or the service for being gay and couldn't face going home. Some were even thrown out of their homes with only the clothes on their backs by ignorant, intolerant parents who'd rather see their kid dead than homosexual. They came to New York with the clothes on their backs. Some of them hustled or had skills enough to get a job. Others weren't attractive enough to hustle and didn't manage to fall in with people who could help them. Some of them, giddy at the openness of gay life in New York, got caught up in it, and some are on pills and drugs. Some are still wearing the clothes in which they came here in a year or more ago. Jobless and without skills, without decent clothes to wear to a job interview, they live in the streets panhandling or shoplifting for the price of admission to the Stonewall. That was the one advantage to the place. For $3 admission, one could stay inside, out of the winter's cold or the summer heat all night long. Not only was the Stonewall better climactically, but it also saved the kids from spending the night in a doorway or getting arrested as vagrants. $3 isn't too bad to get panhandling, and nobody hustled drinks in the Stonewall. Once the admission price was paid, one could choose to drink or not, as he chose. The Stonewall became home to these kids. When it was raided, they fought for it. That and the fact that they had nothing to lose other than the most tolerant and broad-minded gay place in towns explains why the Stonewall riots were begun, led, and spearheaded by queens. Sorry. I know.
That, like, just gets you?
Yep.
I know.
Yeah. That's the thing. When you push people who have nothing left to lose and you take away the only thing that is giving them hope and life, mm-hmm. you're fucking with people who have nothing left to lose.
Right.
You're going to lose that fight.
Right.
And that's an important thing to remember for people who are trying to take away rights right now. You're right. fucking with people who are just wanting basic human rights. And you're giving them reason to push back, to fight yeah. back, because this is everything to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that about sums it up.
Yeah, that does about sum it up.
I'll quote all of my sources, but I did use Wikipedia That was from an article from The Atlantic. And then the other one that I, Pink News, and
I'll put the links in the notes and in the description.
Out.com. Another, yeah. I'll give you all of those. So
it is mind blowing to me that we are living in a place that is focusing more on what they can take away than what they can improve and offer people. And it makes no fucking sense to me.
You're asking for us to be land of the free as long as we are dressed like you, act like you, live like you.
Give birth to children that you want us to give birth to.
Yeah. As long as we do what you want us to do, we're free.
Yep.
And fuck that.
We've been in toxic relationships. This looks all too familiar, homie.
Yep. We're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
We're not gonna take it.
No!
We're gonna take it.
This is our form of rebellion.
Yeah.
Just being really loud.
Yeah.
And
we encourage you to do it as well.
And like James asked, us being loud when they're not around.
Yeah.
When no one's around to fight except for us. So
yeah. And vote in the elections that aren't just the presidential, because these people are making more of the decisions. That one person up there might be putting people in power that shouldn't be in the Supreme Court. But
yeah.
What's also important are these people that aren't getting laws passed that are letting these types of things happen without saying, hey, wait a fucking minute.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't do it this quick, or maybe this is
we don't do this because the corporation that helped me campaign asked me not to.
And is giving me millions to not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's fucking change shit because it needs to be changed.
Change shit.
It's been 53 years.
This is our version of a brick.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
We're throwing it into the internet.
Because it's been 53 years, right? Correct?
I think.
Roughly 53 years. And we're not, we're reverting. We're now have gotten a little bit ahead. 2015, they legalized gay marriage?
Yep.
It took from fucking 69 to 2016 or 15.
Oh, I think it was 14. Sorry. I think it was 14.
Either one.
Yep.
For them to fucking get their heads out of their ass and realize that your religion doesn't dictate what other people do.
Uh-huh.
And now we're going back. So fuck these people. Let's fucking do something about it. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We love you all so much.
We do love you all so much. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you.
We do.
If you want more of us, you can... follow us on our socials.
Yeah.
At Ladies and Tangents. And you can go to our Patreon if you'd like to support us at patreon.com/ladiesandtangents.
Yeah.
I just am trying to like find a way to close.
I know.
This is me trying to add some kind of bread at the end of the sandwich. Yeah. But it doesn't need to. We shouldn't have to sugarcoat it.
I'm sassy because I love you all so much.
I'm sassy because I love you.
Fucking hurts that people are doing this to my babies.
And to us.
And to us. I'm absolutely fucking furious. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. We love you so much.
Yeah, we do.
We will see you next week.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We're out.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Happy Pride, everybody. Happy Pride. We love you.